So we're in Exodus chapter 25, and we're going to read from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. And the Lord is speaking to Moses. We're still in the context of the tabernacle and the instruments or the furniture of the tabernacle. And the Lord says, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work, shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower, so in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be 1 beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word once again. Today we're going to be speaking about the golden candlestick that was placed inside the tabernacle, or what is also called the tent of meeting. I do like that little phrase, the tent of meeting, because while you'll probably hear people refer to this as the tabernacle most often, the tent of meeting is also a Bible phrase, and it really just perfectly sums up and describes what the tabernacle was. So the tent of meeting, I keep repeating that, but it's for that reason of explanation. And this item is the third item in our list of 7 pieces that the Lord had designed and had placed, commissioned to have placed in the tabernacle and its precincts. And once again, we learn that it was God who specified the candlestick's design. It had branches, it had flowers, it had knops or knobs, and almond-shaped bowls that would contain pure olive oil for lighting the inside of the tent, the tabernacle. And God also specified the precious metal from which this candlestick would be made, and he specified the way that it was to be made. It was beaten from a single piece of gold, so that it wasn't made in parts and then joined together, but it was made from a single piece of gold. And really, that must have been some quite wonderful craftsmanship that would produce such an instrument. And as we've seen, the tabernacle was where God agreed to meet with his Old Testament people during their wilderness travels. It was the one place on earth where God's presence would dwell with his people, and where God would be approached and worshipped by men and women. And the tabernacle's design and its materials and the instruments that it contained were all pointers to these Old Testament people to help them understand God's way of salvation through forgiveness of sin. and it pointed forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when God would no longer dwell in spirit in a tent with his people, but would dwell with us in real flesh, one of us and one with us. And how that by his death, the Lord Jesus Christ would make peace between sinners and God. Now, we've spoken about two of the instruments already. We spoke about a brass altar for sacrifices, and that reminded us that without shedding of blood is no remission or taking away of sin. And it also taught us that the wages of sin is death. Not for the person who offered the sacrifice, but for the sacrifice. And the sacrifice was slain for the sake of the person who offered it. And it pointed us also to a picture of Christ's death in our place as God's provision for our sin. And we also thought about a brass laver or a washing pedestal for the priests to wash at after they had made the sacrifice. So in order to clean their hands and their feet before they entered the tabernacle, there was this place for washing. And that pointed us to the cleansing power of Jesus' blood and a reminder that we cannot enter God's presence until our sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, thirdly, we're going to think about this golden candlestick. And once again, we're looking for pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in this particular instrument of tabernacle worship. Because each item pointed in some way, sometimes in several ways, to Christ, and revealed something of his life and his death and his resurrection for his people. And the golden candlestick doesn't disappoint us either, because it too points us to the Saviour. And one of the first things that perhaps we noticed about this candlestick was that it was made of gold. Pure gold, costly, precious, and rare. And our Lord Jesus Christ is precious to his people. He was precious to his Father, and he is precious to his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid a costly price for our redemption. And the Lord Jesus Christ is rare because he opened the only way of salvation. We're told by the Apostle Peter that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So just as the candlestick was made of a rare, costly and precious and pure material, so the Lord Jesus Christ is pure and precious, is costly and unique for his people. And we're told that it was a single piece of gold, beaten, molded to create a single solid candlestick with a central shaft and six branches that came out from the shaft of the candlestick. So there were seven places, it would appear, where the light would come from on this candlestick. Three branches from each side and the central pillar. And perhaps there's something here as well about the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in his soul, was beaten in his body and in his soul, and yet is inseparably united to all his people, all those who are members of his body. And it is true that we are joined to Christ when we are born again and converted. And yet what we discover from the Word of God is that we have always been united with him. That there was a union forged between God and his people, the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, before time began in the everlasting covenant of God's grace. And so in the picture of this candlestick, made all of one material, pure and precious, we can see the Lord Jesus Christ united with his people. The candlestick has an obvious purpose. What do you have a candlestick for? Well, there were no windows in the tabernacle, so artificial light had to be provided. And this light also is a picture of our Saviour. By nature, there is no spiritual light or truth in us. Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaks of the light of the glorious gospel that shines into our hearts. And the Lord Jesus Christ must supply spiritual light. He must supply spiritual wisdom and knowledge, because sin has made us blind to truth, and we are lost in our souls in spiritual darkness. Now, this candlestick held pure olive oil that burned, producing light. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all spiritual light, because he said, "I am the light of the world." And another thing we notice about this candlestick is that it had these seven branches. We've already mentioned to them, the central pillar and the three branches on each side. Seven in scripture is a number which often signifies perfection. And here we see that these seven branches, they are all made of one piece, pointing to the spiritual body of Christ, the church. Christ is the head, and we are members united to him in a single body. And this reminds us that while the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world," he also said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." So that while Christ lightens the lives of his people by shining the gospel to us, we also have a responsibility as the church and as gospel preachers to shine with the light that Christ gives us in this world, so that Christ's works and his words may be known and seen, and the message of the gospel may be heard. And one final picture is to do with that pure olive oil, which perhaps points to Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, true faith and following the Lord Jesus Christ that we speak so often about is not simply learning stuff about the Bible and getting to know facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. Useful as this is, true faith is a living relationship with the Lord in a spiritual way, as the Spirit of Christ lives in our heart and soul. It was a beautiful candlestick, but it only had a usefulness when that oil was lit and it gave off its light. So there has to be that living relationship with the Lord and his people. And we look to the Holy Spirit to enable that in us. In many ways, the tabernacle was a strange and puzzling place. A visitor to it would find it so. They would wonder what all these things were about. But when we realise that that tabernacle in its entirety and the various parts of it was symbolical of the revelation of Jesus Christ and shows us what is required spiritually to be fit for God's presence. We see how its true meaning was hidden in these pictures, in the shadows and the types. But now the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and we can see clearly what he has done for us on the cross, and hear from his own lips and the teaching of his disciples, the apostles, what Christ, the light of the world, has accomplished for us. And as we think about him and as we learn about him, may our hearts be touched by God the Holy Spirit to bring us into that newness of life, that relationship with him, by which we are able to live to his glory and shine in his presence as those lights in his kingdom. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Amen.